Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we are glad that you are with us today. For anybody who doesn't know me, my name is the Reverend Jacob Nault, and I'm the pastor here, and we're excited to have you with us. Today is an exciting, exciting day, even though next week starts Palm Sunday and the sort of broodingness of Lent. A colleague actually told me one time that the Sundays in Lent are like little Easters. So that is for sure true today, because we have a baptism. Quinn Marie Conger, daughter of Casey and Nicole, great-granddaughter of Ted Woyan, will be baptized today. And Bob Ullman, who is a member of the Wisconsin Conference United Church of Christ Creation Care Team, will be here today. As some of you might remember, just to give us a little refresher of why he's here and what he's doing, the congregation was blessed with this kind of incredible gift, because when a roof needed to be replaced here at the building due to some hail damage, we actually ended up getting an insurance check for, I think, over $170,000, and instead of us having to fundraise like mad to get that amount of money, insurance paid for it. And so the thought was, what kinds of things could churches like ours do to lessen our impact on the environment? So Bob is going to be here this morning doing a mission moment in just a little bit, and then also there will be a presentation after the service that talks in more detail about some kinds of things that we might be interested in doing, and I'm sure that Bob will expand on that. And all of that. Major new announcement: you can actually read the projector now! Nate Hall put in a new projector for us, and doesn't it look great? Due to an anonymous donation, a very generous anonymous donation, we now have a brand new projector that is fully updated with the newest technology that will make our worship services more beautiful for years to come. And thank you to that anonymous donor who was willing to do that for us. So, are there any other announcements this morning?
Last day to order Easter flowers today, so I'm going to be calling tomorrow. So if you haven't yet, please order. They're $13. And Monday, Thursday readers, there is a sign-up sheet on the butcher block, and we have one so far on there, so please sign up. Thank you.
And how are we doing on Easter flowers? Do we need...
We're up to only about 11, so... if you could maybe add a few more in there,
let's
that would be great.
Get them going. Let's get them rolling in. So, yeah, so today is your day to do that. Very good. Anything else? So, let's see. Passing the peace, or no, Bob is first. I was wondering. Okay, at this time, I'd love to have my buddy, my colleague, the Reverend Bob Ullman, come on up and share a mission moment with us this morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here with you. We've had a special relationship, Jacob and I. Jacob was part of a community of practice that I facilitated when he was a younger one and preparing for ministry, and so it's really great to be back here with you, Jacob. He told me that you've got a very full morning. You've got a baptism. You've got a communion. Jacob's going to preach, and who knows what else will happen. So he told me, I only have a moment. We'll see how long this lasts. It's going to be shorter than this, I can tell you that. I brought this because the logo for the Creation Care team of the Wisconsin Conference reminds us that there's a fierce urgency of now when it comes to what's happening with our climate. Catherine Hayhoe is a climate scientist and evangelical Christian, and she says instead of talking about global warming, we should be talking about global weirding. And I think you can see evidence of that with the fires out west and the hurricanes down south and the tornadoes through the central part of the country. And around the world, we're having a lot of global weirding. So the fierce urgency of now calls us to take action. And Jacob invited me today to be with you after worship today to help those of you who want to think about this and talk about this of ways that community church here in Waupun can become more active when it comes to mitigating some of the global weirding that's going on. Was that short enough? Okay. I'll see you after worship.
Thank you, Bob. And just another little note, the Conger family brought cake after worship. So please, after worship, enjoy a piece of cake, and then, if you feel so called, come back in here after you've congratulated the family, of course, for Bob's presentation, and it's going to be a lovely, lovely presentation. Really looking forward to that. Thank you, Bob. Okay, so if there are no other announcements, we are about to share the peace of Christ with one another, and there are many ways we can do that. Some people like to be touched, some people don't. So you can either handshake, you can wave, you can fist bump, and if you wave, we won't touch you. So friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
Please stand if you're able for the call to worship. Take heart, be at peace, breathe a breath of relief. God frees us from the need to control. There are so many ways to live a life. There are so many ways to be a person. Glory to the diversity of the planet. Glory to the diversity of people. Let us worship the creative creator whose forms and shapes are endless. Please join with me in the opening prayer. God of many and multiple, you are a breath of fresh air. In a world that increasingly prizes sameness and punishes difference, we turn to you for imagination, for freedom, for growth. You are an advocate for authenticity, a defender of life's creativity. Teach us, Holy Maker, of your boundless love, surprising and sure. Amen. The opening hymn is number 68, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Amen. You may be seated. So are there any young worshipers who are with us today that would like to come and join me up on the steps? All right, well, I'll come to you. I feel like Mr. Rogers a little bit here. So today, we've got a lot of things going on, right? We have a baptism. How many people remember being baptized? Only a couple, huh? Yeah, because most of us here in the United Church of Christ are often baptized as infants, as children. And so baptism is really important and really special, because we are welcoming little Quinn into the family of God, just as all of us are welcome and belong to the family of God. And then another thing that's going to happen today is my friend Bob is going to be talking about some things about creation care. Sometimes you hear about taking care of the earth. One of the things that Bob is going to talk about is that not everybody does a great job of taking care of the earth, right? Sometimes we throw things away that shouldn't be thrown away. Sometimes we put things in the ocean that shouldn't be put in the ocean. Sometimes there are all sorts of things that sometimes people do that aren't very good for the earth. And so just as much as God invites us all into human family and human community through things like baptism, God also gives us a job to do. God gives us a job to do in taking care of the earth, taking care of one another, and showing love to our neighbors and to all the animals and to all the plants and to all of those things. And so that's a lot of what we're going to be talking about today. So I am going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God,
thank you
for gathering us here to teach us how to love each other, how to love the earth, and how to be good neighbors. Help us share your love wherever we go. Amen. Now comes a fun little moment. So I invite anybody, I invite the family of the one being baptized and anybody else who would like to come up and let's get this little one baptized. Seems like just yesterday we were doing this with Riley. They were bringing children to Jesus that Jesus might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, Jesus was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. Truly, I say to you, whoever received the realm of God like a child shall not enter it." And Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Jesus said, unless we are born anew, we cannot see the reign of God. Unless we are born of water and the Spirit, we cannot enter God's new order. Paul the Apostle said, all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into Christ's death. We were buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of God, we too might walk into newness of life. The sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God. Inasmuch as the promise of the gospel is not only to us, but also to our children. Baptism with water and the Holy Spirit is the mark of their acceptance to the care of Christ's church, the sign and seal of their participation in God's forgiveness, and the beginning of their growth into full Christian faith and discipleship. This is the water of baptism. Out of the water, we rise with new life, forgiven of sin and one in Christ, members of Christ's body. So, Nicole and Casey, do you desire to have your child baptized into the faith and family of Jesus Christ? If so, say, we do. Will you encourage this child to renounce the powers of evil and to receive the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, please say, we will with the help of God. Will you teach this child that she may be led to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If so, please say, we will with the help of God. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, please say, we do with the help of God. We do with the help of God. We can do this. It's okay. Do you promise, according to the grace of, given to you, to grow with this child into the Christian faith, to help this child be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church that she may affirm her baptism? If so, please say, we do with the help of God. And congregation, this is your part. Jesus Christ calls us to make disciples of all nations and to offer them the gift of grace in baptism. Do you, who witness and celebrate this sacrament, promise your love, support, and care to the one about to be baptized as she lives and grows in Christ? We promise our love, support, and care. Let us unite with the church in all times and places and confessing our faith in the triune God. Do you believe in God?
I believe in
God. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water, by your Holy Spirit, save those who confess the name of Jesus Christ that sin may have no power over them. Create new life in the one baptized this day that she may rise in Christ. Glory to you, eternal God, the one who was and is and shall always be, world without end. Amen. By what name will this child be called? When I baptize you in the name of the Father and Creator of us all, and of the Son, Redeemer, and of the Holy Spirit. Good job! You did it! Oh. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Quinn, child of God, disciple of Christ. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Holy One, Mother and Father of all the faithful, for this your child and for the grace acknowledged here today in water and the Holy Spirit. Embrace us all as sons and daughters in the one household of your love. Grant us grace to receive, nurture, and befriend this new member of the body of Christ. Give to the newly baptized Amen. We have a couple little things for you. I'll give this to you. So this is a baptism certificate for your records, and this is a blanket that was made for you by members of the congregation.
So,
yeah. Congratulations. Now let us sing our baptismal hymn, Child of Blessing, Child of Promise.
Thank you.
Our scripture for today is from John 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
And thank you, Jane. Before I give my message this morning, we have a poem. This is by the Reverend Steve Garness Holmes. This is In Between Deaths.
Between Deaths. Jesus has waded into the depths of death and fished Lazarus out. His feet are still wet with death as he moves now toward the death of the Passover lamb and his own. And he knows it. And Mary knows it. This is why she washes his feet. She has seen his weeping, seen the strange quiver in his eyes as he faced the grave, almost like recognizing a friend in a crowd. This is where he lives, between death and death. And where we live our lives, between our first risings and our last. This is the promise of our first washing. Every act we commit, each word we speak, we are always between deaths, in the company of the crucified one. Whatever struggles we face, whatever losses or griefs, we go with the courage of those who are between resurrections.
Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So most of you know that I'm a musician, and a lot of my ministry revolves around music and disability advocacy and sharing my lived experience with cerebral palsy as a result of that and how it affects my faith. It's a topic I'm really passionate about and it's something I deeply love doing. So how many of us are musicians or other artists in the room? So a couple, and maybe some others have some other way to relate to this. So as a musician, I practice really hard, right? I practice a lot for the concerts I give, for the recitals I gave back in college, for all of the different musical things that I do, and often I do a pretty good job. But I'm not perfect, shocker. And sometimes I'll make a mistake, right? And people will come up to me afterwards and they'll say, "Oh, that was so great, that was so beautiful, that was so this, that was so that." And I mean, it's great and everything, but sometimes all I can focus on is that one little mistake that I made, right? And sometimes I think to myself, like, maybe I should have practiced more so that I didn't get that wrong, or maybe I should have gotten more sleep the night before, or maybe I should have had a second cup of coffee or whatever so I wasn't so tired. And it's a similar thing, I think, with our text for today. This is a bit of a stretch, but stay with me here. For anybody who hasn't been here the last several weeks, we've been spending our Lenten journey here talking about Christian nationalism, a disturbing trend in the Christian religious practice that intertwines a life of faith with certain ideologies of our country's politics and social structures, which can be dangerous. Basically, if you don't, it intertwines Christian faith with a very specific kind of Christian faith that that makes us think that Jesus wants America to have everything that it needs and all of the, and that we should be blessed as Americans as a result of that. And today's topic of Christian nationalism involves repenting from one right way, meaning that there are many ways to live out our Christian faith and not just one rigid set of doctrines that we must follow in order to be considered real Christians. So in order to fully understand the context of this passage, we'll go back just a little bit. I know you all want cake, so I'm not going to go back too far. So we need to go back a little bit in the last few verses of the 11th chapter of John before today's text begins. So basically, Jesus has just caused Lazarus to rise again from the dead. And because he does these amazing things, he becomes an even greater threat to the Jewish and Roman power structures than he already is. And they want to find a reason to arrest him and kill him. And disciples and other allies of Jesus have caught wind of this, and they tell Jesus that the powers that be want to kill him, and so he leaves Jerusalem and stays with his disciples in a nearby city in the wilderness called Ephraim. It's not Door County, Ephraim, although that would be nice. I love Door County. But it's a little place in the wilderness. Word has gotten around that Jesus has done this incredible thing for Lazarus, and now Lazarus has a target on his back too. They want to kill him too because they want to destroy any evidence that Jesus does these things. And so this leads us to our current point in the story. So Mary and Martha and Lazarus have a dinner for Jesus in Lazarus' hometown of Bethany. And his disciples are also there. And notably, Judas, one of the disciples that is about to betray him, is slowly beginning to show his hand as a contrarian who is going to betray Jesus in just a couple of weeks. So this is 6 days before the Jewish Passover, which is one of the most prominent religious festivals in Jesus' day. And Mary, a friend of Jesus and Lazarus' sister, does something pretty incredible. So she brings this huge amount of perfume, this pound of pure nard. And this is equivalent to a year's wages. A year's wages. And she uses this expensive perfume to anoint Jesus' head and Jesus' feet. And so on one hand, we might share the incredulousness of Judas, wondering why on earth he would use a year's worth of wages to rub oil on someone's feet, right? Kind of gross, kind of yucky. And there are so many things that could be done with that money. Help the poor, make the hunger epidemic go away. Make sure that everybody has access to the kind of health care that they need, all sorts of things. But, you know, Judas asks, for example, why isn't the money used to care for the poor? Now, he doesn't care about the poor, but as he has walked with Jesus closer to other people than anybody else, he knows that Jesus cares a lot about the poor, right? And so Jesus has talked a lot about the poor, and Judas is kind of asking him in this moment why he isn't putting his money where his mouth is. But Jesus responds with something kind of surprising. He says, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." In essence, Jesus is saying that Judas has missed the bigger picture. Indeed, next week is Palm Sunday, and we're going to be remembering Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem that will begin the chain of events that lead to his death. Mary understands the stakes here. She understands that Jesus is going to die as a result of the ways that the Roman leaders feel about him, and she has such respect for him that she feels that she is called to perform a cultural expectation for preparing a body for burial. Because if he is not prepared for his burial, the culture will probably not remember him in the same way, and the mission and ministry of Jesus may not be remembered with the same magnitude. So Jesus is not being self-important here. Instead, Jesus is allowing Mary to honor him and in her own way testify to the importance of Jesus' life and ministry. So what does this have to do with Christian nationalism? Well, there are lots of ways to spend money, as we've talked about. There are lots of ways to use our energy. There are lots of ways to relate to one another. There are lots of ways to love one another as neighbors. But those who espouse Christian nationalist beliefs also espouse a certain kind of Christianity that tends to be exclusionary to people of different races and sexes and gender identities and ability levels and other marginalized social groups. So indeed, if we are not following their understanding of Christianity, the one that wants us to have what we want instead of everybody having what they need, we must not be Christians at all. But it doesn't have to be that way. Like in the story, Jesus reminds us that we don't have to focus on just one right way to spend money or to follow our faith. When I think about this, I think about Quinn and her family as she is being baptized into the faith today. In her faith journey, she will be told that her faith is not correct if she believes certain things or stands up for the rights of certain people. But in today's scripture, Jesus reminds us that we don't have to do, that we don't have to just follow him in one way. We can care for the poor, which Jesus wants us to care for the poor, but we can also remember how Jesus' ministry impacts our own lives in our own ways. So as we go into this week, the final week of Lent before Palm Sunday, I invite you to reflect on the multitude of ways that you can remember Jesus in your own life. Our call to follow him remains just as important now as it has ever been. Maybe it's giving to the poor or the needy, but maybe it's preparing your heart for his burial, for his death, and eventually for his resurrection, because it's in those kind of moments as well that the ministry of Jesus is remembered. So may we all continue to grow in our faith, and may we all continue to remember what Jesus has done for us and what he calls us to do in response. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Love one another as he so deeply loves us. And remember what Jesus has done for us, that we might be baptized into the same kind of faith, a faith that welcomes all and gives everybody what they need. Thanks be to God. Amen. So now let us join in a time of more intentional prayer. I invite us to take a few moments to think about the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's pray in silence. Amen. So I will be sharing a couple of prayer requests, and I will solicit yours after that. And after each intercession, I usually say, "God in your mercy." And if you like, I invite you to respond, "Receive our prayer." So, "God in your mercy, receive our prayer." So I've got a couple. I got a request from Tab Bossenbrook. And so Wanda Bossenbrook, Tim's mom, is in the ICU at St. Mary's in Madison. So for Wanda and for Tim and for Tab and for Wanda's medical team, God in your mercy. And also for Quinn and for Quinn's family as Quinn grows in a life of faith. God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring this morning? Not seeing anything here. Do you have anything on Zoom?
We have two.
Okay.
One is from Lisa Roth. A joy witnessing millions of Americans rallying for our democracy yesterday. And then one from Paul Hartel. Prayers for the little boy in Waupun who was attacked by the dogs. And then one from Janet Gale that says, prayers for hearts to open.
Indeed. So we'll take these one by one for all of the ways that we are fighting for our democracy, even when it's hard. God in your mercy. for the boy who was attacked by dogs, that he might heal, and that that not only his body will heal, but his spirit and his emotions will also be tended to. God, in your mercy. And for the ways that all of us need to open our hearts to the suffering of the world, God, in your mercy. Anything else today? Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer. God of grace and love, you make us one in a world where there are many ways to believe, there are many ways to understand, there are many ways to relate to one another. Making us one doesn't always mean that we have to do things one way. And we give you thanks for that. We give you thanks for joyous moments like a baptism. We give you thanks for the ways that you have baptized all of us into a life of love and a life of faithfulness and a life of joy. We also are mindful of those who are suffering in the world. There are many ways that our country and our world and even our community here is not how you would intend it to be. There are powers and principalities and rulers who are threatening our very way of being. And there are people who are experiencing homelessness, poverty, food insecurity, discrimination on the base of race and gender identity and sexual orientation and disability and all sorts of different ways that we all experience othering in this world. We ask you to help us be forebears of your light and your hope, even in the scariest moments. We ask you to be with Wanda as she is in the hospital. We ask you to be with all of those who need healing in mind and body and spirit. We ask you all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is even now on his way to the cross to die, just to show just how much he loves us and how far he is willing to go to advance your will in the world. And it is in his name that we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. Ushers will be coming around if you'd like to place a gift in the offering plate. And you may also do so online, going to uccwaupun.net and scrolling to the bottom where it says donate, and you can also give online that way. But however you give, may you give with joy in your hearts. May you give with prayerful consideration to the ways that this ministry impacts our community and the world. And also, this is a great time, if you are joining us at home, to prepare your communion elements, as we will be sharing the prayer of dedication and then going right into communion. So however you give, may you give generously as your heart and spirit invite you to give. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Miraculous One, come and bring your deliverance from all that traps and confines, where evil has bound possibilities in thought or practice, being or loving. Come and open what has been closed. Untie what has been bound. Release what has been caged. With all the resources we have to share, may coercion and control be far from us. Amen. You may be seated. So, friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. We here in this church and in this denomination celebrate an open table, knowing that it is Christ who is the host and invites all to participate. We are a body of Christ that comes from many different traditions. Perhaps some traditions where some are not welcome at Christ's table. And you have to be a member of some denomination or the other to be welcome at that table. But in this community of faith, we believe that there is no one right way to follow Jesus, no one right way to worship God, and no one right way to live into the call the Holy Spirit has placed on our lives. Everybody is welcome here. Instead, Jesus offers these gifts of bread and cup as a symbol of his ministry and his love for us. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to God in the multitude of ways we express it. Jesus came to Bethany to eat with friends. Judas, the one who would soon betray him, questioned a woman who anointed Jesus' feet, a symbol of her reverence for his life and his work and his purpose. Here at this table, we do likewise. No matter who we are, no matter where we have come from, no matter what has happened in our lives up until now, after the meal in Bethany, Jesus would have another meal with his friends. He was making himself ready to follow God's will in another way. This meal happened in an upper room where he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body. Every time you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." And after they were finished eating, he took a cup of wine and he poured it out. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant, given for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sin, and for the recognition of my love for you. Every time you drink this, do so in remembrance of me." As long as we eat this bread and share this cup, we remember that they symbolize Christ's deep love and unfathomable sacrifice. So, Holy Spirit, come and rest on these gifts that they may be for us symbols of this love, and that we may go out into the world ready to share it with others. The gifts of God are given for the people of God. Whether you have been here often or never before, whether you are a member of this church or this denomination or not, this table is for you. So a few instructions as we take communion. There are multiple different types of bread. The larger things with bread in them are gluten bread, and this one in the middle here is gluten-free bread for anybody who has gluten sensitivities. If you would like, you can come through the center aisle and take a piece of bread and take a cup, and then return to your seats by way of either of the side aisles. And if you are unable to come for any reason, you can stay where you are, and someone will come to you. The gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. Please join me in the prayer after communion. Holy One, thank you for meeting us here and refreshing us at your table. May we be empowered to share your love with others in our multitude of ways. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 748. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. On many communion Sundays, we prepare to close our worship with the sharing of our mission and vision statement. We go now to love God's creation, share in fellowship, live Christ's example, while seeking on our lives and our communities, living our core values. We, the family of Union Congregational Church, seek to deepen our own spirituality with the acceptance of all through love and a commitment to Christ. My friends, receive this benediction. When we release others from the rigidity of our rules, We welcome home lost parts of ourselves, too. Life is meant to take many forms. God celebrates each and all that leads us to flourishing. Let us go and be astonished, finding our belonging in the great cosmic constellation of life. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And now let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and let's go eat some cake.